Thank you, Aaron. I'm going to change gears here. Instead of working on how to improve nitrogen efficiency, I'm going to talk about some of the work we've done in extending that to producers. In Nebraska, and I assume worldwide, we have a model of going from research results on in the lab or the experiment station and moving them out to the field, getting them close to farmers who then hopefully will adopt them. We like to get the progressive farmers and then have other farmers mimic what the early adopters do. So the talk I'm going to give today is really about the technology, and it's kind of a history lesson for some of you who are younger in the audience who may not remember the 1980s and before we had a lot of control, and how we've tried to work our demonstrations to have some kind of statistical background so we can use numbers that we get off them. In Nebraska, we have a lot of irrigation, and the response to nitrogen and irrigation tends to follow the law of diminishing returns. And while I don't know if there's a interaction all the time, if there's over-irrigation, we would tend to get leaching on our soils, and consequently the end recommendation that we would give may not look as good. So there's a lot of interest in working together on the irrigation side. Some of the things we work with, farmers like large plot sizes. In Nebraska, we have a natural resources district system, which is a watershed basis. It's kind of like conservation districts in other states. They actually have a taxing authority, and they're responsible for groundwater quality. So they provide some funding for demonstrations. Their boards are elected, but in the rural areas, they're farmers. And so when we work with them, there's a huge interest in not doing small plot work out in the field. When we work with farmers, there's a lot of reluctance to randomize and to replicate. They will do it, if we kind of insist on it, but it's not really something that they understand why we want to do it. As scientists, we do want that, because in the winter when we stand behind our numbers, we want to have LSD or something behind them and not just have 50-50 plots. So that's where we were coming from. We've been doing nitrogen rate demonstrations, like I said, since the mid-80s. Bill and I were both up at the same research station. Most of you, we're in the soils group, so I'm not going to spend any time on the changes in nitrogen application technology or the yield estimates. We know, probably understand how that's changed. But I'm going to focus on what we've done on the irrigation side. When we started, most of the people had center pivots, and essentially you turn them on and you can adjust the rate of going around. Farmers, it's easy for them to let us put strips of N in the field, maybe takes an acre per strip, and so they're willing to let us play around. If we change their water rate over 135 acres, that's their income, and they're really reluctant to have us change that. So we're always looking at ways we can be in the farmer's field, have some control, but not put their crop at jeopardy. So over time, I'm going to talk about four steps and things we've done, and I'm not going to really present any data on the response. I'm really talking about what we've done in terms of the designs. So we're going to go from what I call pivot pies, which would be arcs of a center pivot, to where we change nozzles in individual spans to control water, and then now with some of the fanciest computer technology and equipment, we can control the pivots down to 3 sprinklers at a time. So you can see in a nutshell there how it's progressed. The first thing we did in around 2000 was to split fields into big pies. I hate to use the term pie, but that's what we use with farmers, and that's what they use. So we would have each field would be like a replication, and we would try to control that. Here you see 4 pies. The automation at that time, basically you had to stand where you wanted. You had to be at the pivot point to control the controller to speed it up or stop it or turn on a nitrogenation pump, and so it was very labor intensive. But there are a lot of different panels that allowed you to do that at the time. However, in Nebraska, and I assume most other places, soil variability is really your enemy in terms of getting something like this where your yields actually reflect the treatment and not the inherent profitability, productivity of the soil. And so you never were able to put pies in that field that were homogeneous. In order to get around that, we try to put harvest areas and observation areas on similar areas in the pie. Here's an example. We would do an electrical conductivity map, and the different colors are different ranges of EC there. And what you can notice is that, like where the white is, there's not a lot of white on the right-hand side of that graph, so, or that diagram, so it's really hard sometimes to find even similar pieces in those pies. And that presents a problem when you're looking at yields, even if you have yield maps to pull out a similar area. We did this at 7 site years, and you can see the blanks are places where we didn't have enough data to fill in so we can compare high, medium, low for whatever our parameter was. So that makes it really difficult to use those pivot pies in any way to aggregate, even though, you know, your statistician would tell you you could use each location as a rep. So the next thing we did was move to controlling the speed. We didn't in the last one with the pies, we actually had different nitrogen treatments, but here we stripped across there, and each of those rays is a different irrigation treatment, and we could change the speed of the pivot. At this point, you could automate the pivots where they would automatically speed up when you got to a certain point. One of the problems technically here is that if the pivot goes clockwise, it's going to turn on and off at a different spot than if it goes counterclockwise. And so you end up having a lot of no man's land where you don't really know what the irrigation rate is, and so your harvest areas have to be spread apart. We could have replicated those pies, but there is limitations of labor and things like that. So what we would do is set up a situation where we could get enough distance between the different irrigations and be able to take harvest, that kind of thing. And that gave us the ability to do analysis of variance, but it would be within irrigation treatments. So we really couldn't compare a high versus a low irrigation statistically. So we actually had 3 little experiments with the nitrogen rates out there. One thing farmers don't like is that if they had a low irrigation treatment, they would have to irrigate on both sides of that to get our treatments in here. So the third idea was to do what we call a donut design. I guess we like to eat in Nebraska because we come up with these words. But essentially on the center pivot, we changed nozzles between these spans. So you'd have different towers, and we would put a minus and a plus 10% nozzle there. So the whole pivot would end up putting out the same amount of water based on the farmer rate, but we could control the plus and minus. And that made it automatic. You didn't have to actually do anything to the pivot, and the farmer didn't have to make any decisions. Every time he irrigated, you got this differential. And then we had our strips of nitrogen. In 1 year, we actually thought from aerial photography we could see a difference in the irrigation. Most of the time, 10% difference didn't make any difference, which is good maybe from the farmer point of view, but it's hard on the looking at yields. In that particular design, if you wanted to push it, you could probably create 2 replications if you wanted to split down here and have different end rates on either side. Statisticians may not say the irrigation is really randomized, but if you want to push the assumptions, you probably could. So then, we were only able to look at individual irrigation treatments, but we would have LSDs and at least be able to say within this treatment. In this particular case, we didn't have much difference, but maybe we would in other situations. So finally, the last advance was looking at center pivots where we could control the individual sprinklers. And in this particular technology, it turns on and off the sprinklers to get lower rates. So depending on whatever percentage you set it, you could go 60, 80, 100% of normal. And then there are a number of computer panels that would help you do that as well. And in this particular technology, you could turn off those 60, 80 and all that when you're not in the experiment. So it would just be this part of the pivot that got the water rate, which would help the farmers in terms of their concern about us doing damage to their yield. And finally, we're able to, with that design, basically have a randomized complete block. We able to look at both N rates and irrigation rates, which is our goal as researchers to have that. Actually, the technology is kind of advanced from that, and now you can set up a map where you have all these kind of areas where you control the irrigation. I don't think we're at the point where we can have confidence in putting water out in this spot, also putting nitrogen out and getting a yield and having a lot of confidence, but that certainly would be down the road. So just to review, we have four progressions of ability to work with our center pivots, going from the pivot pies down to here. We trying to control the large variation that we get in the fields and kind of make the experimental areas closer together. The cost of doing this was not that expensive, maybe $4,000 to $6,000 add-on for what we were doing here. And so that would adds a lot of confidence to the results. What we've learned, it's not rocket science, I guess, that site selection is critical. But on the other hand, farmers' fields are not uniform. And when you talk with farmers, they don't want you to do your work on the one pancake field in the county. They want to see what it looks like over their ground. So the control of nitrogen, now most farmers probably can do that pretty well. We've passed the point where I'm weighing anhydrous tanks on both sides of the field. And that's coming down to where it's standard. We found that even with the ability to change irrigation rates, the farmer rate tends to be high. So our minus 10% really is probably closer to the recommended rate. So we're not really in control, even though we think we're in control with all this technology. And I'm not sure, just because Bill and I feel comfortable standing up there saying we have randomized and replicated plots, that the farmers feel any more confident in the results than they did 20 years ago when we just had strips. So, thank you.
Any questions for Charles?
Yes.
The fertilizers we use?
No. The one you got in the soil before you started.
Oh, in the soil for like that example. Generally, those sands tend to be 30 or 40 pounds, which would be 2 parts per million, 3 parts per million in nitrate. So there's not a lot of soil nitrates in those soils, and they're low organic matter. They tend to, mineralize just a little bit of N. So you need to put a lot of N on those soils. I apologize to having non-metric units, but that's the way it is.
So basically, that's not enough to
get a problem. My rates there? I don't think I had any no fertilizer applications on the slide. We had it plus and minus compared to the recommended rate. Oop. You talking about that slide or the last one? The last one? This one?
Yeah.
Okay. This is percent of irrigation. So this is basically what the farmer put on. This would be a little over irrigation, and these would be under irrigation.
So you have the side dress of the plant from 160 out to 260. They're almost the yield, but yield wise, doesn't.
They're almost the same, yeah. There's no difference. Yeah. That's right, and so the 210 is supposed to be the farmer is supposed to be the recommendation that the university system would put out, and then we've bracketed it with a minus 50 and a plus 50, and you can see that
we tend to find that there's about eight.
I've probably done 150 of these demonstrations, and we get about 8 bushels difference with the minus 50 on average, and we actually usually get about 3 bushels more with the plus 50. It's a little bit different, but now I have an LSD. You can say it's significantly less at the minus 50. Yeah. Yes?
We do a lot of center pivot irrigation on sandy soils in Delaware, and lately we've been finding our farmers don't really know how much water they're delivering. I mean, their systems are not calibrated properly, they're undersized, the wells are undersized. Is that an issue in Nebraska? So when you're out there trying to address rate, how accurate do you guys know what's really being delivered, or the farmers know what's really being delivered?
Okay, the question is, how do we know how much is being delivered? Are you using center pivots out there? Well, most of these, a center pivot when it's put in is calibrated by the manufacturer. And on one of those panels, you open it up, on it says at 100% you're putting out this amount of gallons, which equals so much water, like an inch of water or something at 100%. And so you can dial in anything you want. Over time, your pump capacity changes, so 100% is not what it was when it was put in. Bill does a lot of work calibrating these things. You have to set the pumps, and you do a pump efficiency test. The NRDs, these natural resources districts, are very concerned about water, and so they, a lot of them in the irrigating areas, have a sonic flow meter, and they can go out there, and if there's an above-ground pipe that might have 30 feet of horizontal and there's not a lot of turbulence, they can put this around it and they can tell the farmer it's 700, 800 gallons per minute. So they pretty much know how much, and generally they have it set. You know, their policy is a half an inch around, and they usually don't change the dial, you know, maybe occasionally, but they pretty much know what it is, and that's not a big issue. On the furrow irrigation, other parts of Nebraska, that been more of an issue where they think they're putting 20 inches out and they're putting 35. But water is a big issue in the Midwest now, and so over the last 10 years they've really pushed the quantity thing. So I don't think there's too many who don't know.
Thank